Head to netsuite.com/briefing now for their one-of-a-kind flexible financing program.
Hey everyone, I'm CNN's Zachary Wolf. I'm in for David Chalian today. I write the What Matters newsletter for CNN, and this is the CNN Political Briefing. Here's what you need to know in politics for Tuesday, December 20th. Congress is gearing up to vote on a bill to fund the government for a full year, but one major problem is no one really knows everything that's in it. The big problem with this bill, and these massive bills have become kind of the norm in recent years, is that nobody really knows what's in it. That doesn't mean that nobody has paid attention to what Congress has been doing, that the committees that are on Capitol Hill haven't been working all year long on funding bills. It just means that this massive $1.7 trillion bill was officially announced at 1:53 in the morning on Tuesday and could be voted on by Wednesday. That's not much more than 24 hours for lawmakers to really read the thing. It's a 4,000-plus page funding bill. They call these things the omnibus, and they happen pretty much every year in recent years. I don't know how long it would take you to read 4,000 pages. I'm not going to pretend like I've read what's in this thing, and I would be willing to guess there is no one alive, including the 535 people on Capitol Hill, who have read it. The omnibus, it includes 12 different appropriation bills. And it's not just spending, although the $1.7 trillion is the focus of what this is. It increases defense spending by a lot, for instance. But they also add in a lot of other unrelated non-budget things they've been working on at the 11th hour. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, he laid out two reasons why this bill has to pass this week on the Senate floor.
We must finish passing this omnibus before the deadline on Friday when government funding runs out. But we hope to do it much sooner than that because we're mindful that a nor'easter is barreling down the East Coast on Thursday and Friday.
In other words, a government shutdown would be nice to avoid before Friday's deadline, but lawmakers would also like to head home for the holidays before some of them are potentially snowed in. Okay, like I said, nobody has read this entire thing. Clearly, we haven't. We do have people who are reading it, and we knew a little bit about what would go inside before it was released. But I'm going to take a lot of this from CNN's Tammy Luby and Katie Lobosco, who have been pouring through this thing, and they also cover this throughout the year. So this is a little bit of what we figured out. Some of the main things are $44.9 billion in emergency assistance to Ukraine and NATO allies. The U.S. has been providing assistance to Ukraine since the war there started and even before, but this is even more. It's also got roughly $40 billion in natural disaster aid. This is for things like wildfires and floods in the southeast. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he's happy about that defense spending since this was a sticking point in the negotiations between Democrats and Republicans.
This is an impressive outcome for the Republican negotiators. And more importantly, it is the outcome that our country actually needs to keep helping Ukraine and our other friends, to keep out innovating and out competing Russia and China, and to keep our brave men and women in uniform equipped with the best training, tools, and technologies the world has ever seen.
But a lot of Republicans aren't happy about this at all. Kevin McCarthy, who wants very much to be House Speaker when Republicans take over the House next month, he's vowing to take a hard line against any senator, including Republican senators, who backed this spending deal. He said on Twitter that in the future, bills from those senators would be dead on arrival in the House. And because of the way the House works, he has a lot more power to kill things there. It's just the latest sign of the lengths that McCarthy will have to go to in order to win over conservatives who are still on the fence about voting for him to become speaker. But McCarthy isn't the only one who opposes this kind of lawmaking. GOP Senators Rick Scott and Kevin Cramer both had some pretty harsh things to say about it.
Well, first off, it's disgusting. It was put out at 1:28 in the morning. It's three times the size of the Bible. We're expected to read that this week.
It's awful. And it's why I'm going to vote against this package. And to do it this way, I just think it erodes what little confidence people have in us.
Even Richard Shelby, he's the top Republican on the Senate Appropriations Committee. So he's essentially in part responsible for this bill. But he's retiring at the end of the year. He said there needs to be a better way to get things done.
That's not the way to do business, but it's the way we had to do it. It's the way it works nowadays, but it's not regular order. It's not the way it ought to work.
We talked a little bit about this, but as with any massive omnibus spending bill on a tight deadline, there are a lot of things that have very little to do with government spending or keeping the government running. We can look at a lot of what gets tucked into these omnibus bills as bipartisan achievements. I think the most important one of these is the Electoral Count Act. This is something that House members had voted on earlier in the year, and senators had been working on in a bipartisan way throughout the year. It is a direct response to the January 6th attack, and it aims to make it harder to overturn certified presidential elections. Specifically, it clarifies that the vice president's role is completely clerical, nothing more. Essentially, Donald Trump's entire plan to overturn the 2020 election can't really happen again. The Electoral Count Act also creates a set of stipulations designed to make it harder for there to be any confusion over the accurate slate of electors from each state. This is important stuff. There are some other non-spending things that are really interesting. For instance, there's this ban on TikTok from federal phones. This is something to keep an eye on. There's been bipartisan concern that China's national security laws could force the social media app to fork over personal data of users in the U.S.
So I'm concerned that this could be used as a propaganda tool for the Communist Party of China.
I think that TikTok is a national security issue. I think it gives the Chinese Communist Party an opportunity to spy on all of us.
You just heard from Senators Mark Warner and Roger Marshall, a Democrat and a Republican, who are among those pushing to restrict the app, though Marshall thinks this bill doesn't go far enough. There is some good news for Afghans who worked with the U.S. during the war. Part of the omnibus would expand and extend the special immigrant visas a lot of those people have been using. But we should also note this bill doesn't go nearly far enough, according to a lot of former generals who signed on to the idea that they should be given permanent status here in the U.S. One thing that's going to affect almost every American is that this bill updates retirement savings rules. It could make it easier for Americans to accumulate retirement savings. It will automatically enroll more people in 401k plans, and it makes it less costly to withdraw money in case of an emergency. There are, however, a lot of things that didn't make the cut for this omnibus bill. We talked about the Afghan Adjustment Act. It doesn't quite go far enough for a lot of supporters of the people who helped the U.S. government during the Afghan War. Another thing that was not included is an extension of the enhanced child tax credit. Democratic lawmakers and consumer advocates wanted to make the credit more refundable. That would have helped a lot more people qualify and gotten a lot more money to children in need. The Tax Policy Center estimates that almost 19 million American kids won't get that full $2,000 benefit because their parents don't make enough money to qualify. Here are some other interesting things that got lost in the shuffle. Lawmakers were considering a provision that would make it easier for licensed cannabis businesses to accept credit cards. There was no final resolution on where the FBI's new headquarters will be located. It's been a big tug and pull between Maryland and Virginia. Keep in mind, this is just the bill itself. It took months of negotiations and kicking the can down the road to get here. There were several moments when Congress had to pass temporary stopgap funding bills just to keep the lights on. So while it does look like this is a done deal, anything could happen. Love it or hate it, you have to admit, this is how government works right now. We'll see if it gets pushed through as planned. That's it for today's Political Briefing. Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. We'll talk tomorrow.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/briefing. netsuite.com/briefing.